Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Monday morning update for the week of Monday, September the 28th, 2020. I'm Jay Gragnani, and here joining us this week is Steve Raymond. And as we have now just a few trading days left in the month of September, a few trading days left in to close out the third quarter of 2020, you know, the market over the past couple sessions, Steve, has seemed determined to continue it, the positive strong run that it's been on really since the latter part of March. You know, the month of September historically is the month that brings with it quite a bit of volatility to the equity markets, and that has not disappointed this September by any means. We've seen quite a bit of volatility in the markets after seeing the first couple trading days of the month notch new all-time highs for the S&P and all the major equity indexes. Nonetheless, we saw some volatility seen coming back into the market. In some cases, you know, volatility that we haven't seen in quite a while. And by quite a while, I mean in a few months. You know, going back to the February March time period. Nonetheless, what that volatility has done in many ways, and you know, we've talked about over the course of the past couple of weeks, is take what was at the time a generally overbought condition for the market. By the beginning of September, the S&P 500, as an example, had gotten to readings that were in excess of plus 100%, meaning the rubber band of the market had gotten stretched out pretty tight. And what we have seen here over the course of the past few weeks as we've gone through the month of September is that reversion to mean and actually even went slightly the other way into oversold territory. As we look at the action today, what that had caused is a number of sell signals on the point and figure charts of the S&P 500, as well as a number of individual stocks. That over the course of the past couple of days, the market has seemingly put its foot in the ground and held support at 3220 and has now returned to a buy signal on the chart at 3340, which is right at the middle of the 10-week trading band for the S&P. So, you know, as we look at the chart of the S&P 500 right here, you know, this is the type of action really that the month of September has seen is this back and forth action. Nonetheless, has managed to hold long-term trends and now return, Steve, back to a near-term buy signal at that 3340 level.
Yes, and you know, we keep in mind that the futures actually did trade down to the 3,200 even level, and so the range got a little wider on the downside. The low on Friday, and this is kind of a typical story, so I don't want to sound like a broken record, but often we say, you know, there was an intraday low caused by Thursday and halfway through Friday, and then the market turns around and starts making moves up on Friday, and then continues Sunday night through the futures and continues Monday and to where we get to say, you know, something analogous to, hey, the Dow's up 1,000 or 2,000 points, you know, and over the weekend. And that's kind of the, you know, a story replayed as we often go, you know, over the cycle of the last, you know, 4 or 5 months, this type of exacerbated volatility. Keep in mind that adages like sell on Rosh Hashanah and buy on Yom Kippur we're actually in right now, and so the buying is actually taking place, you know, according to the adage, the timing of September being volatile. But then again, you know, there's a good shot that, you know, it could move up into, you know, some positive ticks right up into the close of the month, you know, as different managers, you know, got to get the right stocks in their window dressing type of activities, and everyone feels good and looks good. So, you know, probably some positive ticks up into the end of the month level. Keep in mind, there's a, you know, other buy signals that we may see on the chart, you know, somewhere up above the 3,400 level, where, you know, that's just an additional resistance that will pass through on the upside, let's say. And those are additional signals to keep in mind. And remember that often, you know, what we've heard, I know JG and I both have heard this a lot, is, you know, people looking for buying opportunities and where do you hop on and into the market. And I think that you're right in the middle of that event, you know, the very event of the pullback that folks were looking for. Well, here's one, and it's starting to repair itself. You know, it certainly wouldn't be too late to consider you know, the buy signal right here. And of course, it's not going to be too late to consider the buy signal, you know, slightly above the 3,400 level. But I would say, you know, that these things can unfold rapidly. And so the opportunity is actually we're in it, and the opportunity is now. So for those that are, you know, looking for that spot to, you know, both take offense, and then also keep in mind you have a stop loss, you know, ability using the index as what I call a core centric guide, you know, 3,200 ish, as Jay mentioned, 3,220, as I might mention, 3,200. You know, that's a good stop loss on the index if things back off in some direction south. So I think it gives you a great game plan to say this, you know, we're about ready to close September, enter in October, and then certainly head for important action points in the year. Remember the election in November. I'd also like to remind folks that the FSM seasonal quarter updates are also in November. So I don't know what's more important, JG, the FSM updates or the election, but it is true that, you know, those are two things that, you know, are extremely important for different folks. And, you know, a lot of activity, a lot of action, and certainly, you know, a lot of things to discuss with your clients, you know, as we start to try to move out of September and get back into, you know, October and November and be able to educate the clients on, you know, what game plan you offer them. Which is, you know, very critical to, you know, to keep bringing up. And I think this is a great time to bring it up, JG. Back to you.
That's right, Steve-O. There are certainly quite a few eyes on the FSM models. It'll be interesting to see how, you know, how the markets have changed those models here right ahead of the election, the U.S. election, that will be on the heels of all of the FSM model trades that go off. So certainly a lot of eyeballs on both of those. And, you know, as you mentioned, looking out at you know, a number of indicators, you know, we've seen some developments over the course of the past week and really the couple weeks on a number of trending indicators. And this is one. This is the percent of stocks on the New York Stock Exchange that are trading in an overall positive trend. I mean, we saw the index, the S&P 500, continues to trade above its bullish support line, so in a positive trend. And so all we're looking at here is looking at all stocks on the New York Stock Exchange and seeing what percent of those names are trading above their respective bullish percent lines. And historically, when we look at this chart, you know, a reading of 50% or higher or better has historically been a good thing for the market. A reading below 50%, and really, so once that chart, if that chart were to fall to 48%, that historically has not been a good sign for the market. There, you go back historically and you look, you know, even going back to November of 2007, or excuse me, January of 2008 is when that indicator initially fell down to 48% in January of 2008. And obviously, we know how that played out. But other time periods too, when you look at, you know, August of 2011 spent some time down below that 50% level. August of 2015, it stayed down there until June of 2016. October of 2017, you saw it fall below and stay there for quite some time. And then again, February of this year, you saw the PTNYSE fall below 50%, all the way down to 8%, reversed up in April and has since recovered. And so it's still above 50%, which, you know, basically all that is suggesting is that a majority of stocks on the New York Stock Exchange are trading in positive trends. And again, that historically has been a good thing. And that 50% line has been, you know, a very interesting level when we've seen pullbacks in, you know, generally strong equity markets. You go back again and, you know, we saw in July of 2009, the NYSE PT chart reversed right down to 50%, held that 50% level, reversed up and moved forward from there. Similarly, May, June of 2012, you crossed above, strong rally, pulled back right to 50%, never touched 48%, reversed back up and went on from there. And then earlier this year, July of this year, you saw that reversal down and then a reversal back up. So, you know, right now, this is certainly still suggestive of strong breadth across the equity market in terms of majority of stocks being in positive trends. However, one thing to watch as we move forward is if this thing falls to 48%, that's going to be a negative sign for the market. If we see a reversal back up and hold it, you know, it will continue to be a positive indicator. So that's one. There's a number of different trending indicators that we can look at, but that is just certainly one that we're keeping a close eye on as we're moving through the month of, you know, finishing up September into October, which October, you know, in and of itself is while not the worst market month on record for the market, you know, it is a month that we do see some levels of volatility. Certainly a number of major events have happened in the month of October, not the least of which being the October of 87 stock market crash. So that just to say that, you know, we'll continue to monitor things, remain diligent out there, you know, as we continue to execute and operate on a game plan, and do so under the guise and the backdrop of the fact that U.S. equities continue to be the top ranked asset class in Dolly, and that you know, we saw that return to number one in August, making, you know, showing improvement over the course of the past number of months, but by August was able to get back to number one, with fixed income right there at number two. And fixed income in and of itself has been a strong asset class across many different pockets of the fixed income market. And to the extent that, you know, when you look at, say, you know, the asset class group score page, you see, you know, a number of not only U.S. equity, but a number of fixed income areas up there towards the top as well.
Yeah, in fact, we're going to look at a couple of those things on this call, JG. You know, as we, you know, as you pointed out, you know, the market always brings us to kind of the jittery line of being on the 50-yard line. And we really need to know which half of the football field that not only we want to be on, but that we hope we'll be on, and part of the answer is the equities are number one in Dolly, and the core of the U.S. equity market is actually number one in the macro asset class view. This theme, kind of a repetitive theme I keep mentioning, is that the core of the market is still vibrant. The ranking is not too high, but it's still in the 90s. And that just presents a, you know, more of a confident core, so to speak. And I think we're, as we mentioned in prior calls, we'll be monitoring those levels for any changes. At present, the money market percentile rank against all asset classes around the world is at the sixth or seventh percentile, which is, you know, in the minority of strength, view, that tends to suggest a lots of asset classes are functioning good enough for at risk, and that includes, Jay, as you mentioned, the fixed income asset classes. They're part of the all asset classes around the world in a big way, and so your average fixed income fund is still trading in the mid to high threes. The quality income funds still in the same range and a good strength. And what that's telling us, and I think it's been telling us most of the year, as we keep reiterating, that the fixed income component is very, very important to your allocation, not because the academics tell us it should be. The market's telling us that it is, and so you need to participate in both the equity camps and the fixed income camps. And I think that you know, that's the proper way to view, you know, this mix of strength with both equity and fixed income holding very good strong spots in the macro asset class landscape, and really. You know, some years some assets, let's say equity, overwhelm fixed income to such a degree that some people say I wouldn't consider buying fixed income. But that's not the year we're in here. That's not this era where we need to actually pay attention to what the market is saying is in demand and has good enough scores to definitely participate in basically more of a well-rounded, you know, strategic allocation. Back to you, JG.
Speaking of, you know, the allocation, Steve, you know, one of the groups that you can view, or, you know, groupings or views that's available in the asset class group score page is not only the macro view, which is the one we were just looking at, which has kind of the big broad asset classes that are a part of that, and that's the default one that you come to, but And on the top of the page, you have the ability to look at a number of different views. You know, one being looking at all the groups, so all 134 groups that we have on the system, you can view all of those. You have to scroll down the page a little bit to be able to view them. You can look at sectors, you can look at styles, but you can also look at a group, Steve, that you have that's asset allocation, that has it's a little bit more granular perhaps than the macro view, but not super granular in getting into individual sectors and that type of thing. So it's interesting when you look at that asset allocation view, which are the groups that, you know, most you know, asset allocation models are built on, is there's, you know, a vast majority of those groups right now that are scoring above 3, and it really is, you know, across a number of different areas. Not to beat a dead horse, but, you know, certainly a number of equity groups as well as a number of fixed income groups up there.
That's correct, Jay. You know, this is how we used to break down the market years and years and years ago. You know, those of us in asset allocation and so forth, looking more of what you would call that investment style, and you break up the market by investment styles in an asset allocation way. And so we name this view asset allocation. And sometimes I think it's helpful to take a look here. The aggressive growth is at the lead. This has been the case. This is primarily saying that large growth, that mid growth, that small growth component is banging away at some leadership. There's nothing new here. Thought I'd define that aggressive growth, meaning that focused, maybe a better word in the modern era is focused growth, is at the lead. I think other things worth making honorable mentions would be, you know, a fair amount of conservative type allocation approaches are also high scoring, and I would say higher in score in the last few months than I think I've ever seen them since the asset class group score system has been inaugurated, which puts you back to circa 2002. The conservative allocation group obviously is made up of funds that are have a heavy leaning into strategic allocation and low volatility. That means fixed income's in there as well as equity. And I think that's important to say that to see the scores up this high brings you back to a few slides ago, as JG mentioned, that, you know, the trends in the market are good, but they're on the 50-50 line. You know, this is another way to say it. You know, the aggressive growth, focused growth is good, but there's a lot of strength in the conservative groups. And what that's telling you is that this fixed income component and in some sense, a lower volatility strategic allocations are doing very well, and that would be because they're in demand. Okay, so when you go further and say target funds are up here, and someone might ask, well, what, you know, what's a target fund? You don't mean the target funds than all of our 401ks, do you? Yeah, exactly what I mean. So a target fund and the spectra of target funds are really an asset allocation that goes through high focus equity, but more so strategic fixed income and equity blends. And again, according to JG's point, the fixed income component being very strong in this multiple months here, but certainly now, causes the strategic allocations to do very well. And so what you're seeing here are target funds probably scoring again as high as I've ever seen them in our modern system. But really, that's a vote for the importance of having a strategic allocation, which means a little bit of fixed income and a little bit of equity. Low beta fixed income is doing well. That kind of speaks for itself. Low beta fixed income would be, you know, reminiscent of various government short duration bond funds. You know the type, like the American funds, government bond fund, or Franklin, or I could name 600 other fund companies, and they're doing well. Correlated fixed income also doing well. Correlated fixed income puts you back to things like high yield, correlated to the equity market. Convertible bonds, correlated to the equity market more so than the fixed income market. So with this asset allocation view, I think that you can point out, you know, very good spots in the equity realm, and you can point out very important spots in the more conservative or the fixed income realm. And I think that's why we're using the slide today to continue to make the point that I think in this period of time, make sure that you're participating in good funds, and they may come from, you know, both sides of the camps of both equity and fixed income. And we don't know how long that phenomenon will last. What we tend to say is we go with what is. And this is kind of a theme of what is, which is along with the core and along with focused growth, we are doing other things. You know, this is not a, a time where you're saying to yourself, let me go tell my client how we can, only focus down on a couple stocks. You know, this is not the time to do that. I think it's more of the time to say we're fanning out, we're looking at the strategic allocation, possibly adjustments are being made. And then we're looking to focus to, to go into the last quarter with, a little bit of balance on that fixed income equity component. Thanks, JG, for the time to explain that.
That's great, Steve. You know, it's always great, to see those views and there's a lot of views, a lot of options to look at on the site. And so, we try to try to bring out the pertinent information for you. And I think that, all of that is very, very pertinent in terms of client portfolios and just general market trends going forward. So as always, we appreciate you joining us this week. If there's anything that we can do to help you and your business, please do not hesitate to reach out to us. If you have access, you can certainly, log in, view our daily equity report where we, provide daily commentary around market activity and different trends that are going on, as well as these weekly videos that we do. So with that, as always, thank you so much for joining us this week. Hope everybody has a great week, and we look forward to talking to you next week.